Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's Brad Culp. It's December 21st. I have Sam Grass and Trevor Wolford in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Brad. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Other than it's a bad traffic day in Atlanta, but there you go.
That's right. Trevor, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing great,
I want to give you just a little bit of air time, okay?
That's right.
All right. Now there's your allotment. Let's move forward.
Okay, be quiet now.
Brad, are you ready for Christmas?
You know, yeah, I'm ready for it to be over. I had to go over by Perimeter Mall the other day, and you know, that's never a fun trip on any day, but around the holidays, I think it took me 25 minutes to go about a mile and a half.
So you just have to be like me. You don't buy gifts. You just give IOUs, and you don't have to fight that traffic.
IOUs.
That's exactly what I do. So pieces of paper. Okay, here's $25 to such and such place.
I bet your kids just love Christmas.
Obviously that's an exaggeration, but I tell you, sometimes it's exactly what I want to do.
Well, and now we're starting the 12 days of Bowlmas. We got football bowls started last night, I think it was, and they go on till about when? Oh, the ninth.
I guess. I'm going to say this, and my second favorite collegiate team won last night. You don't know who that is, do you?
I'm not sure.
Marshall.
Marshall. Okay, yeah. I didn't know which one to pick, but yeah, they did beat Florida International, didn't they? Well, we've got a good show today. Unfortunately, we don't have a guest in Dallas this morning, but we do have a terrific guest here in the studio with us in Atlanta. It's Laura Jalbert. She's a licensed clinical social worker, and her company is called Mindful Transitions. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be invited.
Well, let's start. We'll start this out as we always do, and just ask you to give us a little bit of your background, where you're from, where you went to school, and how did you get to be where you are?
Sure. I grew up here in Atlanta, actually, and went to school out in Gwinnett County, and then didn't go far for college, went out to Athens, go Dogs, and got
You can plug them. It's okay.
I can't help but plug them. I was in the band.
Oh, yeah.
So, right. Yeah. So I went to undergraduate and graduate school at UGA. They have a great program where you can go straight through to get your bachelor's and master's in 5 years. So that's what I did. And after that, I went straight to work in assisted living, where I just fell in love with the senior population and the Alzheimer's clients and the families, and have really just tried to make that my career since then.
That's great. Tell us a little bit about Mindful Transitions. What is it? What do you do? How did it come to be?
Well, what I do is go into assisted living and provide clinical social work services to clients and their families. And what that means is that sometimes I do a little bit of counseling. That may be for the resident who's isolated in their room or maybe depressed about the loss or the transition into assisted living. Sometimes it's working with those difficult families or those families that, you know, are having a hard time with the placement themselves. And maybe having difficulty adjusting to the facility, maybe working out some complaints that they may have with the facility. Sometimes my clients actually have a mental health diagnosis that they may have had for many years. So it's a variety of different clients, and I wear a lot of hats.
Tell us a little bit. Obviously, you're not associated with any one assisted living. Is that correct?
No, sir. I am independent, so I can go into any assisted living where I have a client or a resident who needs me.
Why would a director of an assisted living open his doors to you, so to speak?
Well, one of the things that I can do is to get their resident more involved in their community, get their family more involved in the community. But oftentimes, it's difficult to get, maybe the facility staff to, help a resident as much as they need, or, sometimes staffing is a concern. And sometimes for a facility, I'm an extra set of eyes on how their resident is doing. So I'm able to assess in a different way than maybe their clinical staff, because I'm trained in mental health. And so when I go into that room, I'm looking for those symptoms of depression. I'm looking, why is that resident isolating? So oftentimes that director is excited to see me coming because I'm providing a level of insight for them about how to help their resident better adjust. But another thing that, is helpful is that I don't charge the facility anything, and I'm paid by Medicare and private secondary. So for the family and for the facility, I'm usually no cost.
Okay, and let's develop that just a little bit. On the front end, how can you be an aid, an assist, the person coming into a facility? How can you be the facilitator, let's say, of a new resident in a facility?
Facilitator in
how if I were the director, why would I again welcome you to bring clients, or how would you bring clients to me as a facility?
Oftentimes, my clients want to move to another facility, and so as I learn the different facilities around town, I can try and help figure out who's a good fit for the culture of any particular building. But I also have some resources that can help me place clients in other buildings if they need to. But my job as I come into a facility is never to move any residents out if I don't have to. That's definitely not my goal. My goal is to keep them in place as long as possible. And oftentimes my services do that, because if I can get the resident out of their room and involved in the activities and engaged, then perhaps the facility and the experience at the facility isn't so bad, the move may not be needed. The family may not need to get all riled up and move mom or move dad.
So are you typically engaged in a period of distress by a family? Is that your typical?
Oftentimes that's when they call me, but I can follow a resident even when there is no distress, because like I say, the families like to see me coming and the facilities like to see me coming, because I continue, to keep everything smooth and keep the resident engaged.
How do your clients find you?
So far I've been referred by physicians, nurse practitioners, assisted living locators, elder law attorneys. Anyone who knows about me is easily able to make a referral. Families can find me online at my website, mindfultransitions.com.
So if you had to describe your business or the specialty of your business, how would you describe that? Or what is it that's unique about what you do versus what other people do that would say that they're in the same business?
I travel to the client. The client doesn't see me in an office. I see them in their home. And so that gives me the ability to assess them on a much different level than I would if they came to my office. I can see whether the bed's been made. I can see, whether they've showered. I can see whether there are clothes everywhere, dishes washed, those other symptoms, maybe of depression or increasing isolation that perhaps wouldn't be apparent in an office setting. So I think that I can get the big picture, by being able to be in their homes.
So I guess the reason for the question is, I'm looking at the name of your company, Mindful Transitions, and I'm assuming that has something to say about what you do as a business or what you specialize in.
Absolutely. I use a lot of mindfulness techniques with my clients, and teaching them to enjoy the moment, to engage in the moment instead of worrying about the past, worrying about the future. You know, for example, sometimes when I see a resident in assisted living, they're very focused on previously living in their home, wishing they could live in their home, wishing they could drive, you know, all of the things that perhaps maybe have been recent losses for them. And so one of the things that I can do is to try and teach them some mindfulness skills so that they can observe and participate in the enjoyable moments that are there in front of them, rather than staying in the past or staying in the future. And so mindfulness is a huge part of what I teach, that enjoyment of the moment.
And when you talk about transitions, you're not just talking about a transition of a physical environment.
No, absolutely not. Sometimes it has to do with the grief and loss associated with aging. One of my clients said the other day, you know, Laura, every time I read the paper, it's to find out who died. And so, you know, to think about ways to be mindful of those positive experiences instead of, you know, looking into the past or staying in a grief process, that mindfulness becomes huge.
I think reading the obituaries is a peculiarity of anybody that's in the senior services business.
Definitely.
Let me take a step backward and ask a little bit about how you ended up starting Mindful Transitions. When was that, and what was it that led you to go out on your own?
Well, I started the company in 2007, and at that time, I was in private practice in a doctor's office, but not seeing many senior clients. And because that's where I started out after graduate school, and because that's where my heart is, since 2007, that's been the goal, is to get back to working with seniors. So during that path, I had worked in an inpatient setting on senior units and that sort of thing, just trying to make sure that I had all the experience I would need when it came time to do this. And so now decided back in May that really, okay, it's time to go. It's time to be out here doing what I know I need to do. And so started seeing clients in May and still trying to grow from here.
So Mindful Transitions was created in 2007. You were in a private practice inside a doctor's office, and you're saying then in May you just broke off completely.
I'm still in the doctor's office a few days a week and growing this side of the business.
Gotcha.
So ultimately will be completely on my own as I grow.
Laura, I think you've addressed this, but it always intrigues me why someone such as yourself, who is relatively, I won't say relatively young, certainly
compared to
me. That's, thanks, Brad. I was getting ready to slam myself, but you didn't. Why is it that you have this heart for the seniors? What is it that attracts you so much to that arena?
Well, that's an interesting question because, you know, if you had probably asked me 15 years ago, I would have said nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I don't want to see that population. And in fact, when I was in undergraduate school, I would have told you don't place me with seniors. I don't want to work with children. I don't want to work with seniors. But around that time,
that doesn't give you much of a market.
I know. Around that time, my great grandmother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And one of the things that we always, as a family, noticed about her was no matter what was going on, she had a comfort level with me. And even when she didn't know who we were anymore, there was something with me, and you could see it in her eyes. I still have a picture of her, and you can see it in the photograph. She's not afraid of me. She didn't know who I was, but she knew that I was someone loving and caring, and we still had that connection without names, without, you know, recognizable faces. She knew who I was. And so at that point, I thought, you know, maybe, just maybe, this is what I need to do. Because I, clearly, you know, she feels safe. And she feels safe with me in a way that, you know, maybe she didn't with my grandmother or, you know, a great aunt, or, you know, even when she didn't recognize me. And so it was just kind of an eye-opening moment that that maybe there's something to this, because other people had told me for years, Laura, you'd be great with seniors. And I would say, no. but, you know, having that moment and seeing that level of trust coming from nowhere made me think, you know.
Yeah, it takes a special individual. I happen to be in a memory care, brand new memory care facility yesterday, and was kind of doing a tour, and one of the aides was pushing transferring this little lady in a wheelchair, and the little lady was just irate, you know, just didn't want to go here, didn't want to eat lunch, didn't want to sit with friends, accusing the facility of robbing her and abuse. And I stepped back and I just shook my head and I said, how do these people do this day in, day out? And the bottom line is, one of the lady I was with kind of stepped in and got down on the level with the lady in the wheelchair, and just spoke very, very calmly and very gentle. And in a matter of about 5 minutes, had her at least calmed down. And it takes a special individual. And I see it constantly, and it always intrigues me why people are drawn to that arena where it's so frustrating at times.
Well, and, you know, the interesting thing, too, is that if people, this is something that chooses you. And I'm not sure that, you know, you just decide at some point, you know, that you're going to work with seniors. I feel like it comes to you and you choose whether to accept that message or not.
That's a great statement. Yeah.
And, you know, if this is who you are and this is what you do, it will come out of you in some way. So, you know, even though I started the company in 2007, now I couldn't contain it anymore. It started to come out of me.
And you really brought a great point to light. Brad, did you choose to do this, or did the business grab you?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right about it. You know, if you had asked me, we've been doing this now for 8 years. We bought Griswold Special Care from the original owner 8 years ago. And if you had asked me 10 years ago what I'd be doing 10 years hence, it wouldn't have been this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Interesting. Laura, tell us a little bit, I think you've touched on this, but I'm going to allow you to expand on it. What's your day consist of? Just give us a day in the life of Laura.
My days are never the same. They're always exciting. I may start out the day, meeting with some contacts, getting to know others who work in the aging community. And then I may go to an assisted living client, meet with the client there for my hourly session. Liaison a bit with the staff about how the client is doing, maybe any concerns that they might have about how the client is doing, any issues that they may have, if they're noticing the client get out of their apartment more or less, those kinds of issues that I may be working on. And then I will make a chart note and give that to the staff at the assisted living so that they'll know, you know, what we've been working on, and they'll have documentation for their records. And then I may move on to the next building and see the next client.
Can you distinguish between what you do and a so-called geriatric care manager? Is there one thing that you do different than a geriatric care manager?
I think I'm more clinical than a geriatric care manager. I do a good bit more counseling focus. Assessing, sometimes I'm assessing, the medications, paying attention to, how much of everything that they're getting, dosages, how often they're utilizing, as needed anxiety medications. But most of the time, just working clinically, so talking about their issues rather than, I do make referrals and I can make referrals, but oftentimes that hour is spent with the client or with, speaking with the family.
Now, do you only do Medicare and insurance work, or do you do private pay work as well?
I can do private pay. I'm finding in this economy, people are holding on to their private pay funds as much as possible.
Yeah, you don't say. That's why Brad and I are purely private pay, and we see the same thing. And you heard me talking to the gentleman out in the lobby. You know, we're dealing with a population that, if they didn't come through the Second World War, they certainly are close to it. And they're a great group of individuals, but they certainly know and understand and appreciate how to manage their money. And they're going to very, very wisely.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that they seem to really be grateful for in regard to my service, is that I don't cost them anything. If they have that private secondary, Medicare pays me primary. The private secondary picks up the difference, and I'm free.
Yeah.
And it is often hard for them to turn away a free service.
Right.
Can
you, for our listeners, and this might, can you give us a warm and fuzzy story? Can you tell us a situation with a client, and kind of without obviously giving us specific names, tell us about a situation that kind of brings a smile to your face?
I have a lot of those. There's a client that I've been working with since May, and her doctor called me in to work with her regarding her relationships. She has no children and chose never to get married because she did not want to pass on her mental illness to future generations. So she had an incredible level of insight about her illness, you know, way back in her 20s, way back in college, when she, you know, was trying to decide if she wanted to be married. And she knew that, you know, getting married for her, the next step would be having kids. And so she didn't do either. But yet one of the reasons that I was called in to work with her had to do with her relationships, and her struggle with relationships. And so that's what we've been working on since May. We've been working on mindfulness and awareness of positive moments and awareness of reality versus our own perceptions, how our worry thoughts perhaps may interfere with the reality that we're observing. And just recently, she was telling me about her Thanksgiving experience. And I thought I was going to cry because it was so touching. One of her most difficult relationships is with her sister. And her sister has always been very parental towards her. The sister's older. And she's always had a hard time feeling like, you know, maybe the sister is trying to fix her, always trying to fix her, because the sister is older and wants to, you know, provide a great deal of information and support about how my client can live her life, and as older siblings do. And one of the things that she told me with pride after we met and talked about Thanksgiving was that she didn't take it the same way that she always had, that she really felt like it was helpful this time, that her sister had all these great ideas. And she said, "Laura, I didn't feel like she was trying to fix me." She said, "I really felt like she was interested in why I saw things the way I did. And do you know how I noticed that?" And I said, "Of course, no, I don't know how you noticed that. I wasn't there." And she said, "I stopped with my own brain. I turned off my own brain and just paid attention to what was happening in the room. I turned off the past. I turned off my worries about the future. And I just noticed what she was saying when she was saying it. And I didn't make assumptions about what she meant. I just heard what she said." And in that moment, she kind of got it. She had gotten the mindfulness that I'd been trying to teach her since May. And so, I mean, she's continuing to grow with that. But it's amazing to, you know, that she can really enjoy some of her relationships now by just kind of teaching her to be mindful of what's actually there instead of her worries.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it is. I'm a loss for words now. I don't know where to take it from here. For our listening audience, if we have individuals who might be seeking, that they're at the state where they don't know what to do, what high level piece of advice might you give them as they start the process of looking at facilities or home care or whatever,
or any transition?
Yeah.
I would say ask a lot of questions. There are no such thing as stupid questions, and you can never ask too many questions. To me, if you're going to move your loved one into a community, if you're going to seek out support services for your loved one, you need to ask all the questions that you need the answer to. Our job is to answer those questions about our services. Our job is to make sure you understand fully what we can do for your family member, and what our limitations may be. And so I would say just ask a lot of questions.
I think you're exactly right. And you spoke of it earlier. And ask those questions early rather than in a moment of crisis, rather than in a reactionary mode. Be proactive on that. That's the one thing that we see constantly, Brad. And I see it, you know, we're notorious. 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, you know, we're getting the call from the individual, from the daughter or whoever. My loved one's going to be discharged. And they tell me I got to have care before I can take them home. And
oh,
that's
right.
Not the time to be trying to figure out what you're going to do.
No, absolutely not. The earlier, the better.
Yeah, great.
The earlier,
great.
The better.
For our listeners, if they'd like to contact you, Laura, how can they get a hold of you? Can't you give us your contact information?
Sure. You can find me online at mindfultransitions.com. You can also reach me at 678-637-7166. And that's a cell phone number, so I always have that number on me.
You're a brave individual. We certainly appreciate it. This has been a great show. We good information, and really appreciate you being here. We think it's a great service for the clients.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we appreciate that. That's it for today. Once again, we thank Laura for being our guest. We want to remind our guests that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, as we always do, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.